It is time to officially recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel.
Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Christmas to all of you patriots out there across the fruited plains in occupied territory and across the free zones inside the American redoubt. Merry Christmas and happy holidays to all of you guys. Thank you for tuning in. I hope that you are surviving the hustle and bustle and that you've got some great plans to gather together with friends and family this coming weekend. This weekend that we are in now. And it feels like we've got an extra day, doesn't it? Sunday is Christmas Eve. And so it feels like Christmas Eve today. So it's like we have two Christmas Eves and then Christmas on Monday, doesn't it? That's how it feels to me. And I'm enjoying it. So Merry Christmas to everybody. Thank you for tuning in. And we've got a brand new year coming up ahead of us in just a little over a week. Kind of exciting. There's a lot that's to look forward to. So we want to remind you. I want to actually congratulate Codename Growly Bear, the winner of the grand prize, the 35-year anniversary edition of the 200-shot Red Ryder range model air rifle with a compass in the stock. From the Daisy Museum, we had our one-time pad secret code decrypting contest. And what that took you to when you decrypted that successfully would take you to an address, which when looked up on Google Earth or Google Maps, would take you to the actual house that was used in the filming of the movie Christmas Story. And if you click on the street view, it will actually take you on a virtual tour inside that house where you can see all of the stuff that was used in the movie. It was a lot of fun. And the kids, they decrypted that. They found what the address was. They went to the location. They reported into headquarters. And when they did, their name was added to a contest. There was four prizes given away, but the grand prize was the Red Ryder Daisy BB gun. And that goes to Codename Growly Bear. So congratulations to you. And thank you for all of you kids and big kids who, the kids who entered and participated in the contest and the big kids who went through the whole process of decrypting that secret coded message and just played along anyway, even though they couldn't enter into the contest. But what a great time. It was just so much fun. It's not completely over. There's still stuff for the kids to do to get involved. Tonight and tomorrow night. So Christmas Eve and the night before Christmas Eve, there are the 20 meter nets on 14.300 upper sideband. If you have a ham radio operator in your circle that can help you with that, the kids can talk to Santa Claus or sometimes even Mrs. Claus on ham radio. Lots of fun for them. A great way to introduce kids to amateur radio. I want to thank all the licensed ham operators who volunteer their time to help out with that communications to the North Pole. But that's a 14.3 megahertz or 14,300 kilohertz, however you want to look at it. Should be 14,300 on your dial. And even if you don't have a transmitter or a transceiver to talk, you can at least maybe tune in and listen on your shortwave radio by tuning to upper sideband 14.300, the Santa Net. Lots of fun. So congratulations, all you young partisans who participated in that. Next week, I got this beautiful, there's so much, I'm so just stoked. I was looking at the Drudge Report again, and the top five headlines were all things that Trump has done that has just annihilated the left, and several achievements from the previous presidential administration, the president who will not be named, 11 items, legacy items, repealed by Trump, the Patriot. There's a list of first year as president, 81 major Trump achievements. I'm going to cover that next week because there's some things I'm going to add to that. But this week was just amazing. What happened in the United Nations? So this is from a letter that was sent from the Christians in Defense of Israel initiatives that are available over at Liberty Council. We've got kind of the tale of two letters that they're asking people to sign on polar opposite ends of the spectrum here. Those standing against declaring Jerusalem as the capital of Israel and those standing with it. And interesting, we'll talk about why some of these people are taking a certain stand. But this is from the Christians in Defense of Israel. Earlier today, United Nations, this was on the 21st, but this is when this letter was sent out. Earlier today, the United Nations General Assembly singled out America for attack. In a 128-9 vote, the UN declared President Trump's recognition of Jerusalem as Israel's capital null and void. The lopsided vote happened in spite of warnings of consequences from President Trump and Ambassador to the UN, Nikki Haley. I love Nikki Haley. She is just a little bundle of dynamite. I love when she gets up and speaks at the UN. So the U.S. is taking names. Preceding the vote, Ambassador Haley warned the UN body, "We will remember it when we are called upon once again to make the world's largest contribution to the United Nations. And we will remember when so many countries come calling on us, as they often do, to pay even more and use our influence for their benefit." Well, at the White House, the president also gave a warning, saying they take hundreds of millions of dollars and even billions of dollars, and then they vote against us. Well, we're watching those votes. Let them vote against us. We'll save a lot. We don't care. That is, I swear, this is one of the greatest presidents in modern history. So this letter that they sent out, they're asking for people to sign, "I stand united with President Trump and his pro-Israel, pro-Jerusalem agenda." Now, if it was this Trump policy, he's inflaming the Middle East. Who does he think he is? Making this type of unilateral declaration. Well, hold on a minute. Let's listen to this.
Trump has caused international outrage by recognizing Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. Who would do such a thing?
Jerusalem is still the capital of Israel and must remain an undivided city accessible to all.
As soon as I take office, I will begin the process of moving the United States ambassador to the city of Israel as chosen as its capital.
I continue to say that Jerusalem will be the capital of Israel, and I have said that before, and I will say it again.
And Jerusalem will remain the capital of Israel.
But they don't want to hear that, do they? this is not a unilateral Trump decision. He's just the only one that's actually making good on his promise. Well, it actually hasn't happened yet. But did you see this type of outrage from the media, from the so-called academia elites, the elitists, the globalists, when any of these other previous presidents mention the same thing without even having done it? You know why they're so furious? Because they know he's a man of his word. When he says, "We're going to do this, we are going to do this. It's going to happen." So the rest of them just give lip service, right? To much applause. But they know it's not going to really happen. Well, when Trump says it, it's going to happen. And that's probably why they are so doggone furious. So Christians in Defense of Israel has launched a nationwide campaign to support the president as he faces this onslaught of international attacks. They're calling on grassroots citizens like you to join together in issuing a strong vote of confidence for the president. Will you add your name to this important vote of confidence today. And then they've got the poll here. We'll put up the link so you can go put your name on this as well to make your voice known. So Turkey's Minister of Foreign Affairs, one of the resolution's sponsors, outrageously called the Trump's administration warnings bullying. Now, who's to talk? Turkey, Erdogan in Turkey has been, I don't know what, if he's not a bully, I don't know who is. He's been stomping on the throats of citizens in Turkey for the last 2 years and pushing it hardcore to definitely strong Islamic type of state. Ironically, it's the 128 UN members voting yes against the U.S. who are engaged in bullying. The resolution said the U.S. acknowledgement of Jerusalem as Israel's capital city must be rescinded. Did they go through this with any of the other previous presidents? I've not been able to find any shred of evidence that they stood so unified against the president for making this statement that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel and should be treated as such. So they demanded that all states comply with UN Security Council resolutions. In passing the resolution, the UN is attempting to force the U.S. to bow to its will while rejecting America's sovereign right to choose where to locate its embassy, as well as Israel's sovereign right to choose their own capital. I say to heck with the UN. Get the United States out of the UN and kick the UN headquarters out of the United States. Someone come up with a great suggestion. Turn it into, give it to the veterans. I don't know if it should be a Veterans Administration building. They haven't shown that they can be good stewards with a whole lot, although that is changing. But it takes a total new presidential administration from the top down driving policies to make them get their act together. That's sad. But no, that should be conquered and used for something else. How about restoring the Republic headquarters right there in occupied territory in New York? Well, of all the pressing world issues with North Korea, Iran, and terrorism, the UN ignores them and instead calls an emergency meeting to dispute the historical reality that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel and to challenge where the United States chooses to place its embassy. So we hope that they do follow through with the consequences, including defunding the UN. Amen to that. It's about time. And there's another one. It's called the Jewish Studies Statement on Jerusalem Declaration. Now, this is kind of interesting because there is definitely a dividing line. And what's really interesting, and I was doing my research on this, and I stumbled across this Jewish Studies Statement that they're asking supporters to sign. We write as Jewish studies scholars to express our dismay at the Trump administration's decision to reduce decades of bipartisan U.S. policy by declaring Jerusalem the capital of Israel and authorizing the relocation of the U.S. embassy from Tel Aviv outside of a negotiated political framework that ends the legal state of occupation and ensures respect for the rights of all Israelis and Palestinians to Jerusalem. So these are mostly Jews, academia, that are saying we want to share. It's just the right thing to do. So anyway, I'm going to cover more of that when we come back with the Jerusalem Declaration and one person's argument about why they signed it. And this guy came up in my research. He's very well known, Michael Zank, apparently. And he does a lot of speaking about Israel and Jerusalem and history, but not from a Christian perspective. Matter of fact, he's got a little issue with Christians and, I guess, Messianic Jews, which are Christians. So we'll talk about that when we come back. I'd like to thank our sponsor for this segment, Works Holsters. That's Works LLC, W-E-R-K-Z, Works Holsters. Custom-made holsters made right here in the American Redoubt with a lifetime guarantee on all their products.
This is a special holiday broadcast brought to you by Radio Free Readout. On behalf of all the staff and Radio Free Readout partisans, Merry Christmas.
It's troubling to see our Christian heritage come under attack, isn't it? Right here in our own homeland. The first phase, that of removing references to Christ from public school Christmas programs, is creating the vacuum that phase two is poised to fill. Humans have a deeply inherent spiritual need to worship. We were made for it. The militant atheists claim they're striving for freedom from religion, but it shouldn't surprise us that their claims are disingenuous. Enter phase two. We are now seeing Muslim songs and references to Ramadan creeping into what are traditionally Christmas holiday season programs in our schools. Where are the atheists to chant and protest that religion has no place in the public schools? I haven't heard any. Well, there are voices of protest to the Islamification of our children. They are the voices of Christian parents who are told to be quiet and stop being Islamophobic or racist. Christians are beaten down and told they're not being loving or good Americans when they speak out against this hijra, the Islamic invasion through cultural jihad. What will it take to convince the American people that Islam is not peaceful? It is anti-Christian and it is anti-American. Don't be fooled, Christian patriots. Islam is not peaceful. It is patient. A sniper laying in his hide for hours or days is peaceful too, isn't he? I want to encourage the Christians, the remnant, to be bold in your faith. Christmas is about Christ and Christ alone, and I can't think of anything more American than that, so accept nothing less. I'm Violette Sabo, with points to ponder, words to live by, and ideals which define us.
Carol of the Bells, Trans-Siberian Orchestra. I saw them in concert twice, and one of the definitely, hands down, probably the best performances I've ever seen live. Love that. Christmas music and electric guitars, you just can't beat it. I love that stuff. This is segment two of Radio Free Redoubt, and segment two is brought to you by our great sponsors, Patriot-owned business Riverfront Suites out of beautiful St. Mary's, Idaho, down toward the southern tip of Coeur d'Alene Lake, but on the St. Joe River, major tributary to the Coeur d'Alene Lake. And beautiful down there. Go check them out at riverfrontsuites.com. Okay, so in this segment, I want to talk about this other declaration that they're asking for signatures, not to support the United States, but actually against it. So this is called the Jerusalem Declaration. And this guy's explaining why he signed it, you know, why I signed this declaration. And I stumbled across this in my research, trying to figure out, you know, more about this, where these guys stand, why they stand what they stand for, and decrying the United States. Look, these are Jews living in Israel, and there are people that are standing up for Israel to strengthen them as a sovereign nation, to assert their sovereignty. And these guys are saying, no, we don't want that. We don't want any part of this. We want to be lemmings. We want to live side by side with our conquerors. This guy, his last name is Zank, and he does a lot of speaking. He's a kind of a historian. He teaches classes, lectures, addresses questions about Jerusalem and the history of Israel. Okay, so I followed his link over and I saw this letter that he wrote to a woman who was inquiring, why are you signing this Jerusalem Declaration? And what is it? Well, this is Michael Zank's response to this woman's letter, and I want to read it to you. Matter of fact, let me go back into my notes because there's something that jumped out at me, some scripture that that came to mind as I was reading this. He says, I can tell you that I am concerned with the peace and prosperity of Jerusalem and all of its inhabitants. Like many others, I assume that the United States held a key role as an honest broker in the Middle East. I am afraid that the president's declaration signals the administration's abdication of that role. What role? Being an honest broker trying to, you know, achieve peace. Okay, so he says, we already know and agree that for us as Jews, Jerusalem is Israel's eternal capital. It will be and remain so whether or not anyone else recognizes this fact. The Jewish state can continue to exist without claiming exclusive ownership of Jerusalem. The Jewish state existed and thrived for two decades before 1967. Hold on a minute. First of all, no, it didn't thrive. Jews were being slaughtered for two decades before 1967. I'll have you know. They were going to be annihilated again if they did not band together. Besides that, they had to fulfill prophecy. Israel would become a state again. But let me go back to this other statement. Because for them, it's all about peace. Peace at any cost, right? Peace and prosperity. Well, they've certainly prospered, but they're not experiencing peace. They will not claim what God has given to them. The modern Jews. He said, so we don't need to declare it openly because that'll just infuriate the Palestinians. So we don't have to say it out loud. We just know in our hearts that it's, and then maybe they won't want to kill us as much. You can't appease these people. You cannot appease the Philistines. You cannot appease the Arab world. They want to annihilate you, to remove Israel from the history books. They want to remove the Israeli people off the land and off the earth forever. You're not going to make them want to kill you less by trying to appease them. Stand for what's clearly yours and what God gave you. So instead, they say, we know and agree that for us as Jews, Jerusalem is Israel's eternal capital. It will remain so. Okay, so we don't have to say it out loud. Okay, hold on a minute. That's like, for me, and in my mind, I'm thinking, this is like saying, you know, this is my wife, and some other man comes to ravish her, right? And I'm like, well, you know, I don't want to cause problems. I don't want there to be conflict. So I just, you know, I'll let him go and do what he wants because I know in my heart she's really my wife. So just do whatever you want. No. Who's abdicating their role? You accuse the United States of abdicating their role of being an honest broker for peace when everything you've done for peace has resulted in the complete opposite. It is complete mayhem. Everything that you've done to increase security, like building walls and adding security and patrols, works. And then the leftist liberal Jews come in and say, oh, this is just infuriating them. So what? Let them be infuriated. Let the Arab world be infuriated. Let the Muslims be just cranked up over it. They're not going to kill you any less. Oh, we will kill you more mercifully if you don't resist us. They want you dead. Stop. Well, but see, this is the pacifist type of mentality. So he's saying Jerusalem was founded on the hard labor of generations of pioneers and the devotion of the land of Israel of pious Jews inside and outside the Holy Land. Our devotion to the Holy Land and to the Holy City should not blind us to the rights and needs of others who are no less devoted to the city of Jerusalem. So we should get along. Like with the Palestinians. So he says, this is where he goes up against the Christians. And I know I'm running out of time. He says, as Jews, our interests do not align with that scenario of, you know, the Judeo-Christians. Let me back up. He says, Jerusalem's status should not be reduced to a pawn in nationalist and exceptionalist rhetoric that appears to the appeals to the apocalyptic longings of evangelical Christians or Messianic Jews. Jews owe gratitude to the Muslim community. What? Jews owe gratitude to the Muslim community for readmitting the Jews after centuries of banishment? Hold on a minute. The Jews did not give you permission to come and be readmitted after centuries of banishment. It was God. You don't owe any gratitude toward the Muslims. You owe gratitude toward God, who used the United Nations through the United States and the United Kingdom as the machinations, the instruments to make sure that those doors, those floodgates were open and the Jewish people returned to the homeland, fulfilling prophecy. You don't owe gratitude to the Muslim community for letting you come back into Israel? Are you out of your minds? So he says, we should be wary of the embrace of Israel by so-called Christian Zionists who ultimately hope for the conversion of Jews to Christ. Oh my. And who want to precipitate the end of history, which, as they envision it, entails the great war between Gog and Magog that is to be fought in the land of Israel. As Jews, our interests do not line with that scenario, and those are not our friends who promote it in their incessant propaganda. Let me tell you something. That incessant propaganda is called scripture, and it is called prophecy by the Messiah that you missed. And this is what it comes down to. John, 1 John 12, that says that the Jews today are blind to this. Although Jesus had performed so many signs in their presence, they still did not believe him in him. This was to fulfill the word of Isaiah, the prophet, who said, basically said, for this reason, they were unable to believe. Talking about the Jews. For again, Isaiah says, God has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts so that they cannot see with their eyes and understand with their hearts and turn, and he would heal them. So there's a time when they are blinded right now. That's why these Jews are thanking the Muslims for letting them come back into their land, not giving credit to God, and railing against the claims of Jerusalem being their capital. That's pacifistic. They're going to lose. All right. I'm going to go and wrap up. Go and check that out, though. 1 John 12, 37 through 43. They're blinded and their hearts are hardened. This is Radio Free Redoubt. We will not be having a podcast on Christmas Eve or New Year's Eve, but we look forward to talking to you next Saturday here at KTW. And then after the first of the year, we will be resuming with the Sunday night podcast. So God bless and Merry Christmas. God bless us, everyone. This is John Jacob Schmidt. My name is your name, too.